course of technology and development at the University of Wisconsin and elsewhere around the country aims to mimic human tissue in scientific research.
If successful, the so-called tissue chips could help advance drug testing in a way that's not currently possible with use of research animals. For example, drugs that work on lab rats can still be toxic to humans. Tissue chips could help identify these toxic drugs before they're used on people.
William Murphy is a professor of biomedical engineering and orthopedics and co-director of the Stem Cell and Regenerative Medicine Center at UW-Madison. He's one of the researchers working with tissue chips. Bill, welcome to Central Time.
Good to be with you.
Well, starting with the basics, what are tissue chips?
So the tissue chips are essentially these glass or plastic chips that have individual human tissues growing on them in very, very small pockets. So in essence, we have micro-scale human tissues that are forming in individual spots on a chip.
And is the idea that these can mimic different systems or organs of the body, say the brain?
Exactly, yeah. So these are designed to mimic really critical components of human tissues, including, for example, the developing brain. And really, we're not developing tissue that would resemble exactly the structure and function of the human brain. That would be awfully complicated and very difficult to do on a micro-scale chip. But we can recreate really critical properties of the brain that are important for understanding whether a chemical is toxic to the brain.
And probably, you know, I won't understand the complete answer here, but how do you go about doing that? How do you get a slide of glass to mimic a human brain tissue?
Well, you know, we start with stem cells. And stem cells, as I'm sure you know, are cell types that can multiply indefinitely, and they can also differentiate, which means that they can turn into cell types that are useful, that are part of the adult human body. And so if we control what those cells are surrounded by, which means either the soup that they're sitting in or perhaps the matrix that they exist within, then we can control how they differentiate and ultimately how they form into a human tissue.
Now, in terms of the applications of this, what are some of the problems with the current testing method, usually animal testing, that tissue chips could improve?
Well, I think there's a variety of potential applications, one of which, as you described, is toxicity testing. At the moment, when rodent models are used to understand the effects of toxicity on the developing brain, the studies that are done are called multigenerational studies. And there, a rodent, for example, a mouse, would need to be exposed to a chemical. Its offspring would be studied, and their offspring would be studied. And so these kinds of multigenerational tests are quite expensive, and also aren't very highly predictive of what happens in the human. In fact, in some cases, the rodent models are poorly predictive even of what happens in a larger animal, like in a rabbit. And the predictivity in those cases can be in the neighborhood of 50 or 60%, which obviously is not very helpful if we're trying to understand the effects of toxins on humans. And the idea here is that because we're starting with human stem cells and we're forming human tissues on a chip, they can be better predictors of what happens in the human system.
Are they better predictors so far?
They are so far. And in fact, we just finished a few months ago completing a test of 10 blinded compounds. So these were compounds that at the start of the experiment, we didn't know whether they were toxic or non-toxic. And we were able to predict in 9 out of 10 cases correctly whether a chemical was toxic or non-toxic. So in that particular study, the tissue chips were 90% predictive.
Are these tissue chips difficult to grow, or, you know, mice are easily available? Is this something that would mimic at least the availability of that kind of sourcing?
Yeah, you know, the technologies and the techniques that we use to make these tissue chips are not that highly specialized. So the kinds of materials that we generate that allow these cells to form into the tissues that mimic human tissues and the cell types that we're starting with can be generated by potentially lots of labs. So it's not something that has such a barrier that it would only be something that could be performed by one or two groups. This is something that can be done by lots of groups.
So it sounds like there's lots of pluses. What research is yet to be done before this kind of tissue chip is available more widely?
Well, I think one of the things that we have to do is screen a much broader cadre of compounds. So we've screened a limited number of compounds to date, and as I mentioned, the system has been quite highly predictive and really promising. But there are tens of thousands of compounds that we want to understand the potential toxicity of. And it turns out that of the chemical compounds that are produced in the United States at over a ton a year, I believe approximately 93% of these have never been tested for toxicity to developing brains. So there's a whole lot of tissues, there's a whole lot of toxins or potential toxins that we have to be able to screen. What that really means is we have to be able to scale these systems so that they can be what we call high throughput. They can screen lots of compounds in a very short period of time and at relatively low cost.
So 93% haven't been screened before. Why not? Why has it taken till now, till you've got this tissue chip to start doing this?
Well, in part, we haven't really had the tools to do those kinds of screens. The multi-generational tests and rodents that I mentioned earlier are prohibitively expensive for industry to be running these kinds of tests. So the companies that are producing these chemicals, in principle, could be required to do a multi-generational test in rodents, but it would be so expensive for them to do so for all of the chemicals that exist and that are produced in the United States at high quantities that it hasn't been required.
Now, this work that you're doing with tissue chips, it's not just being done here in Wisconsin at the UW. It's being done elsewhere in the country. Where are some of the hot spots of tissue chip research right now?
Well, there's a large number of groups that are interested in this area, and there are now at least two national initiatives that are focused on developing tissue chips for high-throughput screening types of applications. One of them is a National Institutes of Health initiative that is called the Microphysiological Systems Program. It's actually a partnership between the National Institutes of Health and DARPA, which is the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency. And this has funded now about 20 different groups from around the country to develop tissue chips in different sorts of organ systems. So there are groups that are trying to develop mini heart tissues in a dish. There are groups trying to develop mini liver tissues, many skin tissues, many skeletal muscle tissues. There's a whole range of them. And really the very ambitious goal of this national initiative is over the next several years to generate on a chip 10 different human organ systems communicating with one another in the way that they would communicate with one another in the human. So they would have a vasculature, they might have an immune system. They would be really good predictors of what happens when a drug or a potential toxin enters the bloodstream of a human.
So does that mean you'd essentially have a human body on an array of these tissue chips?
That's the idea, is to create chips that at that very small scale can mimic what happens in the human body. Now, it isn't going to be a human body, and oftentimes we think about these individual tissues on the scale of microhumans. So we might need to develop and build these systems so that they have a similar capacity to human organs. So, for example, the liver is not the same size or capacity as the brain. They have different numbers of cells. They have different metabolic rates. There's lots of things that are different about these organs. So if we made the mini liver and the mini brain the exact same size, they probably wouldn't match very well. So that's one of the engineering problems here, to try to match these systems such that they mimic the human system, but they have the ability to be scaled as well so that we can look at lots of potential toxins and lots of drug candidates.
Now, if tissue chips come to be widely adopted, if the testing and the development moves forward, what would that mean in terms of the cost? Would there be a net savings?
Oh, in principle, it could be a tremendous net savings. And I think maybe it's most dramatic when we think about drug discovery. So on average, when a pharmaceutical company develops a drug, they might start with 10,000 lead compounds and ultimately develop one drug. And that process of drug discovery and development might take 10 to 15 years, and it might cost in the neighborhood of $1.2 billion. That's a tremendous cost and also quite a long time frame for development of these compounds. If you had a human mimic system outside the body where we could short-circuit that process and get better predictive values for drug safety and potential drug toxicity and potential drug efficacy, whether or not it's actually going to be effective and achieve its goal, then we might be able to do this at much lower cost. At the moment, that process of drug development might start in a rodent model and make its way all the way up to a non-human primate before going into a human system. That development path is tremendously costly.
Bill, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
We've been speaking with William Murphy, co-director of the Stem Cell and Regenerative Medicine Center at UW-Madison. He's one of the scientists developing tissue chips that could one day replace animals in scientific research.